Jackson Hour here on the Molloy. Good evening, Truth Seekers. Welcome to the Mike Molloy Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Hang out with us for a while, will you? Will you please? Please hang out with us for a while. I've spent part of today marveling once again at the wall-to-wall coverage of the death of Michael Jackson. I feel like I'm seeing a new religion being born, which I believe is the case, just like the Presley religion, the Elvis religion. It was born about 30 years ago. And now we have the Michael Jackson religion being born. And I even heard people talking about who was the greater in the pantheon of music gods, and eventually they dropped the word music, who is the greater god, Elvis or Michael Jackson? As I've told you, I hate religion, so it can all go take a flying leap. You know, like I said, for the people in his family, okay, but this is insane. Okay, that's enough. What is happening in California? Now I'm starting to get concerned. I know that Enron, several years ago, decided to target California for one of the biggest energy scams in the history of capitalist scams. And that history is replete with major events that caused people nothing but grief, anguish, anger, fear, death, destruction. Capitalism is such a bad system. Oh, my God, it is such a bad system. And it takes a collapse or partial collapse for people to realize it. But we apparently do not have a long-term collective memory. We went through this, not you and me. We weren't around. But, well, some people listening to this program might have been around in the during the crash in the 30s and the Depression. When it became necessary to begin World War II in order to pull this country out of the mess that capitalism had got us into. But when are we ever going to learn? Oh, my God. And now there's California. California, how does a state like California become bankrupt? How does it become 24, 25, what is it, $26 billion worth of red ink? How does it get to the point where reports are out there that, I mean, everything in California is going to stop. School districts are going to lay off thousands of teachers. Class sizes are going to have to get bigger. You know what that means. Bus service is going to have to end. Summer school programs gone. Academic year shortened. This is just in where it concerns education. I saw something on television tonight. A bunch of old people sitting around in a nursing home or a facility for old people. And they're playing card games or they're doing those exercises they do on chairs. And some of them have, cannula? What do you call that thing in the nose? Cannula? They're getting oxygen. Or, oh my God. And that's it. And like 80% of the money that goes into those places, at least the ones featured on NBC News, are funded by the state of California. Schwarzenegger has decided he's got to empty the prisons. He's got to close the state parks. What the hell is going on? I'll tell you what's going on. You want to know what's going on? This is what Norquist, that filthy son of a bitch who said he wants to shrink public services to the point where I'm screwing up the quote. Don't send it to me because I hate this bastard. Shrink the economy, public services, whatever, until you can drown it in a bathtub. Well, here you are. Now, of course, Grover Norquist, I believe, lives in Washington, D.C. I don't know. Is Grover, is that his name? Grover Norquist? I always think of a cartoon character when I hear his name. But I'll tell you what happened, and you know what happened. Prop 13, all the way back in 1978. Remember that? Prop 13 had to do with property taxes. Proposition 13 did. But there was another part of it. In addition to lowering property taxes, the initiative also contained language that required that infamous two-thirds majority in both houses of the California legislature for any tax increase or amounts of revenue collected, including income tax rates, everything. It also required two-thirds vote majority in local elections for local governments who wanted to raise special taxes. So everybody said, yay, goddamn, no more taxes, woohoo! Here you are. Now, a lot of people who voted for this back in 1978, what is that, 32 years ago? Or something like that. They're dead. They're gone. They're you know, rotting in a crypt somewhere. They don't exist anymore. But Prop 13, that was the leadoff batter. The cleanup batter was the 2003 California recall election to remove Democratic Governor Gray Davis and replace him with a movie star. This is astonishing to me. This whole ballot initiative thing, that is not freedom and democracy. That's mob rule. We don't live in a democracy. If we lived in a democracy, the entire country is going to look like California, on the verge of just absolute, utter chaos, I guess. I am hoping that we will hear from listeners tonight who are in California, who can enlighten us. Now, I know you don't live in California. You're listening to this program. You live in New Jersey. You live in Florida. You live in Arkansas. It doesn't matter. What is it? Somebody said, what's another word for a trend? A fad. A fad starts in New York, but a trend begins in California. Is that, or have I got it asked backwards? It doesn't matter. California used to be what, the eighth or the largest economy on earth? Just the state of California. And now they are bankrupt to the point where social services are stopping everything. Police and fire protection. Do the people in California realize? I don't know. Maybe you do. Maybe you do know what you're facing. But I think if the full impact, and what's your unemployment rate right now? Is it around 12%? If ever there was a time for burning torches and pitchforks and a descent on Sacramento, on your state capital, isn't now the time? This is unbelievable. And when they do get a budget referendum or a tax increase pass, the movie star vetoes it. I'm sending this back without my signature. You know, it's bizarre. Gray Davis was recalled. Arnold Schwarzenegger in 2003 got his office. And now Davis was a victim, wasn't he? He was a victim of Enron. A victim of Enron. Because of that so-called electricity crisis in the early 2000s, where so many people in California saw their monthly energy bills triple in cost, even after they heard the recordings of the Enron predators, these filthy sons of bitches giggling and laughing and hooting and hollering about what they were doing to the state of California, the ratepayers. Enron. Huh? Rhymes with Goldman Sachs. Rhymes with Bernie Madoff. Rhymes with Citigroup. Rhymes with AIG, rhymes with UBS. But Enron was the harbinger of what was coming. And I'll never forget those audio tapes of these so-called energy traders at Enron, laughing and hooting and giggling and hollering about the poor, you know, they talked about poor old ladies. Oh, how's a bitch going to pay her bill? Who cares? Screw her. You know, I want my vacation. I want my bonus check. What are you getting this year? Oh, man, I'm getting $300,000. What are you getting? Oh, some chicken chump change, man. I'm getting $1.2 million. Uh-huh. So here you all are. What are you going to do? And it's not, again, fads start in New York, trends start in California. The rest of us in this country who look at California go, tisk, tisk, tisk. Prop 13, the recall of Gray Davis. Oh, you people are crazy. Nuh-uh, nuh-uh. That tidal wave is heading this way. So help us understand, will you, Californians? Introducing the all-new Chevy Equinox with an EPA estimated 32 miles per gallon highway and up to 600 highway miles on a tank. It's the most fuel-efficient crossover on the highway. Go to Chevy.com/Equinox. Based on GM compact crossover segment, excludes other GM articles. So I get this email from John in Los Angeles. What happened in California is the subject line. John answers, the legislature has been cooking the books for many years now to balance the budget each year. I can't read your sentence, John. Has balanced the budget with accounting tricks and borrowing. That plus the major increases in state salaries approved by those in charge. Then we have millions of illegals and children of illegals whom we have to educate. They and their parents alone cost us at least $5 billion a year. I could go on. And he does go on. He says Prop 13 is not the problem. The taxes collected since then are several times what they were when it was passed. It was passed 30 years ago, John. I'll bet your salary, if you're working, is... Never mind. The property tax increases to market value every time a property is sold. In general, the majority of people move here every few years. Very few stay put for years, and those are not pushed out of their homes by heavy increased taxes. Okay, I'm sorry. The syntax is just all garbled. I'm not sure what you're saying, but I think what you're doing is blaming illegal immigrants. Which is a little goofy to me. I mean, there are illegal immigrants, all in every state in the union, I think. And the reports I've seen on the news is that, hundreds of thousands of them returning to their countries of origin because, I always start to the red flags and the lights start to flash. The red flags go up, the lights start to flash when somebody starts talking, blaming things on illegal immigrants. Maybe that's just because I'm a complete dumbass, but, that happens anyway. All right. Well, let's find out. Kevin is calling from, San Clemente, listening on XM. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm all right. So what's going on?
I was going to make another comment, but after you read that email, a couple things come to mind. First of all, the guy has no clue how things work in California. First of all, the Proposition 13 continues to affect us because a very large percentage of people just hand those properties off that are still covered under Prop 13 to their children or through living trusts or other means of sheltering their real estate so that it continues to be covered under the 1972 Prop 13 tax limitations.
I think it was 78, wasn't it?
Well, regardless of what it was, I'm pretty sure it was 72, but they don't know what they're talking about.
Okay.
There's still a huge percentage of homes that are still covered under Prop 13 and are paying literally a few hundred dollars a year, in taxes for homes that are now worth, upwards of $1 million, $1.5 million.
All right, so that would affect the local school districts. But what about the greater issue of the part of Prop 13 that I remember back when it was passed, and Wikipedia says 78, so whatever. I remember back when it was passed, and I thought to myself, hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay, Kevin. It sounded like you were being kicked around inside a box. When Prop 13 passed, and part of Prop 13 says that 2/3 majority is required for any tax increase at a state level. That's crazy. I'm living in Georgia at the time, and I thought, well, that's simply not going to happen.
What it's forced California legislators to do is to focus on regressive taxation.
Right.
And so it's basically all on sales tax and other regressive taxes.
Right.
And so the other thing about, illegal aliens costing us so much money and not paying taxes, well, guess what? People who live in California pay those same regressive taxes. They pay all kinds of sales taxes, just like the rest of us do.
Uh-huh.
So the idea that they're not paying substantial taxes to live in California is untrue as well. And you're absolutely right. Prop 13, as long as it continues to be enforced, we're going to continue to be in this cycle of bankruptcy in the state of California, because there's no way to increase revenues,
mm-hmm.
particularly when we're in an economic downturn like this.
Well, you know,
at least when you have a stable real estate base for tax purposes,
mm-hmm.
To fund education and other things in the state, you have something that you know is going to continue to come in on an annual basis.
Right.
We don't have that ability in California.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not forget as well that the one of the other comments I was going to make was that it's Pete Wilson that got us into this nightmare with the power companies, all the utility companies, by
right.
deregulating it
and then
all kinds of other things.
Right, and then Gray Davis took the hit. Yeah, hey, listen, Kevin, I have to leave it there because we've got a break here, moving on us like a freight train. Kevin, thank you. I appreciate what you had to say. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
My heart is fine. Our energy policy has never been compromised.
We're running out and we need you. Kenstar.
Kenny Boy should invoke his fifth dimension rights.
Bush and Cheney's in on money, buddy. This time they went too far.
What is Enron anyway?
Remember back when they get whining about Clinton.
Introducing the all-new Chevy Equinox with an EPA-estimated 32 miles per gallon highway and up to 600 highway miles on a tank. It's the most fuel-efficient crossover on the highway. Go to Chevy.com/Equinox. Based on GM compact crossover segment, excludes other GM vehicles. About 25 before the hour, we're talking about the situation in California. Everything, I've been listening to the horror stories building up now, and I'm not trying to be flip here, for weeks. And now I understand that the state of California is issuing IOUs or scrip or whatever. The social services that are going to be nailed are endless. I mean, the list of social services that are going to get the axe in California is just astonishing. And as California goes, so goes the rest of the country. Paul writes, Mike, regarding California, I have a gut feeling that the current crisis is all a plan to privatize everything they can. Highways, hospitals, schools, public services, everything. The Californians are going to lay back and take it, just like they have been programmed to. It is the rise of pure capitalism. We are in the end days of the United States of America. Your friend Paul. Well, I have a suspicion that there is probably more than a dollop of truth to that. The corporatism demands an end to anything that is funded through tax dollars. Think about it. They're in constant competition. That's why there is so much resistance to Barack Obama's talk about offering a public health care plan to compete with private health care plans. I know that a piece of legislation just passed. Was it the House or the Senate? I think it was the House. But it's no more of a revamped public health bill than it is a revamped a global warming bill. Or no, I guess that hasn't passed yet. I guess I'm talking about global warming, right? The climate change. It's hard to keep these two major issues, health care in this country and the fact that we have gotten to the point 200 years after the Industrial Revolution, not quite 200 years, where the planet is going to be unlivable by the end of the century. Yeah, every time I hear that, you know, I think about my kids and grandkids. I think, okay, how old are they? Okay, they'll all be dead by then. Okay, good. I mean, Jesus Christ, what a way to think. But corporatism demands no competition whatsoever. And corporatism, predatory capitalism, interchangeable terms. They mean exactly the same thing. No competition. That's one of the reasons that how many of 15, 20, 30 million people died from the end of World War II to the fall of the Berlin Wall as a result of the competition, the bloody competition between these two economic systems, Soviet-style communism and U.S.-style predatory capitalism. Because there can only be one winner, you see. There can only be one system. And the corporatists in this country are determined to win. They don't give a goddamn how many people die. Hundreds? Thousands? Tens of thousands? Millions? Tens of millions? Doesn't matter. And as far as social services are concerned, take care of the elderly? Screw the elderly. Take care of the sick? To hell with the sick. Take care of the children? The hungry child is an alert child. Let him join the military. On and on. And the military, privatize it. Everything. Destroy it all. The collateral damage, the hundreds of thousands, the millions of people who are going to die, simply stated, with the collapse of this frayed social safety net that we still have in place after all these years, when that finally unravels altogether. You know, what's his name? Grover Norquist. He said, you know, he wants to drown it in a bathtub. He's not speaking figuratively. He's speaking literally. Kill. Death. That's what predatory capitalism has always been about. Work the workers until they die. Drive people into absolute poverty. Make the sons of bitches work like draft horses. Take the profit. Stomp on the people. What did Orwell say? You want to see a picture of the future? It's a face with a boot on it. So here we are with California. Here it comes. Here it comes. Me? I'm concerned. I really am. Kristen is calling from Chico, California. Hey, Kristen.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Well, I was just calling to express my total dismay as a Californian. And I know a lot of people who feel the way I do, and basically, not to sound ignorant or anything, I've lived in this state my entire life, which is 45 years now, and Prop 13 is a huge part of the problem. Illegal immigrants, by the way, are a small part of the problem.
Yeah, I would think, except for the people who just hate Mexicans and anyone, any person who is from so-called south of the border is going to be a Mexican. It doesn't make any difference. They come from Honduras, Guatemala, Mexico. They're Mexicans. But I get your point. Right.
Well, our state would never have thrived without Mexicans.
Right.
So and most good thinking people in the state know that's true. Anyway. My point was going to be just around Proposition 13. Having worked in the real estate industry here for about 15 years now, I can tell you that there aren't as many homes as people think that are still coasting, so to speak, under Prop 13 mm-hmm. assessments. A lot of property changes hands in California on average about every 5 to 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is that when our property values throughout the late 90s and up until about 2006 or so were just going up exponentially, all of us knew it was a bubble. Everybody knew it couldn't continue. But the point is people were buying property at those rates. But now we have these huge foreclosure rates, and so obviously the taxes aren't getting paid on that property. That is certainly
right.
contributing to the problem. But like a lot of Californians, I'm confused, and I think that a lot of our problems are due to fiscal mismanagement, because mm-hmm. I honestly, you know, we bring in a ton of tax revenue. We have very valuable properties here and a good percentage of homeownership, so I'm not, and the lottery, so I'm not really sure exactly where all of our money's going.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how it's being spent exactly. It seems like we can never balance budgets. The schools never have enough money because of federal mandates and lack of funding. So
let me suggest this, and you correct me. Taxes, sales tax are based on sales. Property mm-hmm. taxes based on the relative value of property. All right, sales have been falling across the country. Real estate prices are falling. Also, you have payroll taxes. I would assume you have them in California. A part of payroll taxes go to the state. With almost 12% unemployed, there's another shot in the dark against tax revenue. What else? User fees. People don't. If people don't have money to go to the state parks to begin with, the user fees drop. If cars aren't being bought and sold, then sales tax there drops.
Here's the thing, too, is our car registration fee was dropped way down, even though, you know, California, this is not a new fiscal nightmare for California.
Right.
We've been in this fiscal nightmare now for at least a decade and a half that I can think of. And the fact is, in all these times when property tax revenues were going up, 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 our financial problems continued to get worse.
So how?
Well, that's my question. That's what I would ask the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
How has this happened? We have not had a bunch of public improvement bonds go through. People have not been voting those through for a long time.
And now it's going to be hopeless because I don't know how legit they are, but the Moody's bond rating system has just dropped its rating of California. Banks are not going to want the predatory banks and damn them completely to hell. Banks are not going to be willing to lend money. Foreign investors are going to take a look at the situation in California and the United States and say, no, don't think so. Do you have any plans? How do you plan to weather this?
Well, it's been excruciating for me, mostly because of the business I'm in. I own a mortgage brokerage with my husband. We're self-employed. We've always paid for our own medical care.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a lot of trouble trying to get lenders to loan on property. I mean, I could go on, and I won't.
Sure.
But it's been a devastating economy for us to try to weather.
Mm-hmm.
It really has. And I don't have any plans to leave the state because I love this state for so many reasons,
mm-hmm.
and I do believe that we will weather this crisis too. I don't know how, but it's kind of makes me angry, though, because a lot of conservatives in this state have talked continually for 20 years now about how overly taxed we are. I mean, we don't even have, thanks to Reagan, we don't even have state mental hospitals anymore.
Right.
Which, you know, and now we're paying for all of these homeless
mm-hmm.
people that should be getting mental illness treatment.
It's just crazy what happened,
and a lot of it is the fault of conservatives, I hate to say.
Well, I agree with you. The goal of conservatism is to destroy the country and replace it with a form of corporatocracy that you have a handful of winners at the top and most everybody else losers at the bottom. Kristen, thanks. Got a boogie. I appreciate what you had to say. Thanks for checking in. We'll be right back, Truth Seekers. Introducing the all-new Chevy Equinox with an EPA estimated 32 miles per gallon highway and up to 600 miles on a tank of gas. It's the most fuel-efficient crossover on the highway. Go to Chevy.com/Equinox. Based on GM compact crossover segment, excludes other GM vehicles. About 9 before the hour, Teresa writes in, "Hi Mike, I'm sitting here at work, working late, listening online. I live in the LA area. People should stop thinking about Prop 13 as applying only to homes It applies to businesses as well. So a business like, say, Disneyland, that's been in the same location since before Prop 13, has not had its property tax base raised since then, though the rates can increase by about 1% per month. Meanwhile, your caller who said most people move an average of five years is correct. Very few people hold on to family homes. If Prop 13 were discontinued or modified for businesses only, it would make a huge difference in county finances. And remember also that counties are the recipients of property taxes, not the state. But counties would require less revenue sharing from the state. Teresa. All right. You know what we're talking about. Let's go back to the calls here. Henry's calling from St. Louis. Hey, Henry.
How you doing tonight?
I'm all right. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing beautiful. Heading home for the holidays.
Well, there you go.
Hey, the thing I called in about, okay, when you talk about the issues about California having, I tell you, the last year and a half, I've pretty much been making all my business out of California, moving companies out of California, but the majority of the companies I move out of California is going to Nevada. And the reason why, because Nevada offers them incentives, tax breaks, and, you know, basically a lower cost of living for the employees
right.
to live over there, you know?
Sure.
And every time I talk to these owners of these companies and stuff, and most of them are entrepreneurs, you know, have anywhere between 75 some to 200 employees, and most of them actually move all the employees to Nevada because one, it's cheaper for the employees to live there, and they're able to give them more benefits and stuff because they don't have the outrageous property taxes California has, and also the business tax. Because let's face it, over the years, California really haven't become a business-friendly type place.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and to me, when I go there, and you know, at one point I thought about moving there, but when realtors show me properties 1,100 square feet, and they want almost $800,000 for it, I'm sitting there going, "Like, are you really out of your mind?"
Right, right. Well, that was the real estate bubble. Don't you think that's going to change? I mean, I hear what you're saying, Henry. Here in the South, we always attracted business from up north because, first of all, the cost of utilities was lower. There were no unions, so people couldn't make a good living.
Right.
I'm sorry?
Right, right.
So I understand that idea of states or counties or regions of the country playing off against each other. But still, California, I mean, you know, it's California. You understand what I'm saying there?
I've always said it like this, and it's because of the way the prices and things. I always say California's a great place to visit.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't want to live. I want to keep my money.
I hear you. Henry, thanks.
All right. Thank you.
All right, man. Appreciate it. I appreciate you checking in, Henry. Take care. Drive safe, okay? Let's see. This is from Gregory? Subject line, where do California tax dollars go? He writes, as a former resident of California, now a resident of Texas, and someone who knows someone who knows, California tax dollars pay for Texas interstates. They have monstrous infrastructure here in Texas, and they have it because Californians historically, haven't wanted to soil their own living environment. In Texas, they don't care. Yet, when enough rich kids start dying of novel cancers, then maybe they'll care. But right now, it's just poor people and Mexicans who are dying. White establishment doesn't care, and rich Mexicans look down their noses at anyone who's poor anyway. Mystery solved. I'm not sure how that solves it, Gregory. I'm not sure I understand what you wrote. But okay, yeah, California tax dollars do pay to some extent for Texas interstates. Sure, but California tax dollars also pay for Ohio interstates, and Ohio tax dollars pay for California interstates. I mean, come on. That's not nice try, but I don't think that quite covers it. Okay, no offense, just, yeah. There's a blogger in California, I believe it's David Dayen, D-A-Y-E-N, Calitix.com. He writes about late night with the legislature. He's referring, of course, to California legislature. End of the world as we know it edition. He writes, it's been truly despairing to watch the Twitter feeds of John Myers and Scott Lay tonight as the mood shifted from guardedly hopeful, now he's talking about last night, to despairing. The Senate California Senate keeps voting on things and not coming up with any solutions. They tried to pass the stopgap solution again and came up short of the votes needed. They passed the majority vote budget with some fee increases, and the governor vetoed them. Let's all please remember that. With a stroke of the pen, the governor could have ended this. If SB 64 and SB 80, the stopgap, don't pass by midnight, and actually in an hour or so, because it takes a couple hours to prepare the necessary paperwork, the state will forfeit, this is last night, last midnight, the state will forfeit $3 billion in cuts to the 2008-2009 budget year, which they will have to find in the following year, and a total of around $7 billion in total costs when you add in the cost of additional borrowing, etc., 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 etc. And then this line, he writes, well, it's almost as if the governor doesn't want a solution, but instead an opportunity to push through a bunch of long-sought goals, shock doctrine style. Oh, my God! It's the collapse of the Soviet Union all over again. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. It's about 6 and a half past the hour. This is the Malloy Show. We're talking about the situation in California tonight. We're going to continue a little bit longer. We have an awful lot of folks who listen on the West Coast. So it's an issue that concerns them directly right now. But we also, for the listeners in the rest of the country, this very definitely will have an effect on the rest of us also. California's Prop 13 is, I believe, is unique in all the 50 state legislatures. I think that's the case. But regardless, tax revenue is falling dramatically all across the country. There is a concentrated effort from so many different areas to turn the country away from participatory democracy. And turned it into a corporatocracy or a fascist state in the way that Mussolini meant it. Not Nazism, not Soviet style communism, which was really fascism when you get right down to it, but the Mussolini style. And I believe it was he who said, you know, why call it fascism? Call it what it is. It's corporatism. We are so close. Now, close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. I understand that, but we have been, this close for a number of years. And now when you see the largest state in America, when you see the state with, the eighth largest economy, or is it six? I don't even know. It's in the top 10 in the world, on the verge of collapse, on the verge of bankruptcy. And you consider the implications of what that means. Then I think everybody in the country should be paying attention. And especially people in California. I don't know what is causing this. Is California some kind of a spend crazy state? Has it been out of control, for the past 20 years? These kinds of problems do not crop up overnight. We understand that, for damn sure. You do have to go back. You have to go back through several different administrations, back to the 50s, I guess, the 50s or early 60s to find the genesis of this problem. But here we are. And what is occurring in California is a real heartbreaker, I think. It would be a heartbreaker if it were occurring in any state in the union. Okay, not Alaska. But if it were occurring in any state in the union, it would be a heartbreaker. It really would. But it's California. I mean, Jesus, Beach Boys, Hollywood, San Francisco, the Castro, Sacramento, Orange Groves. Jesus, why is this going on? Well, relax, Malloy. Come on, calm down. There's a very good reason for it, and it is the result, to a large extent, of a concentrated effort in this country to not just squeeze California, but to squeeze every single state to utterly and absolutely undermine, weaken, and then destroy what we have been struggling with in this country for 232 years, trying desperately to have two systems function at the same time. Participatory democracy on the one hand, and on the other hand, an economic system that, while it allows people to rise as high as they want to rise, does not penalize people that don't, and takes into account the fact that there is a kind of Darwinism, social Darwinism or financial Darwinism involved, that includes rigging the books. I mean, come on. Who is it that said, look at any rich family in America and you'll find at some point in their history theft or fraud? And is it not true? Can someone just send me a quick email and tell me that that's not true? I don't care what wealthy family you use. In the first place, most white fortunes were built on the backs of the perfect kind of corporatism, capitalism, and that was slavery. I mean, Jesus, you can't have a better deal than that if you're the master, right? I mean, you can't have a better deal than getting all of your labor free, no matter what you do. If you live in an agrarian society, as it was here in the South all those years, when slavery provided the not just the sweat equity, but provided actual money, and these huge fortunes were built, and it wasn't just here in the South. Come on. And how about the fortunes that have been built on the backs of illegal immigrants? I hear about people, illegal immigrants. They bring the little bastard children over here. They come over here and they drop their babies in the hallways of our hospitals. And then we have to feed them. Come on, grow up. Immigrants provide illegal or real. Okay, let's do illegal. Okay, I don't like that word, but let's do it. Illegal immigrants. They provide the labor for jobs that we delicate, fat-ass Americans wouldn't touch. I mean, my God, go back to the days of Cesar Chavez and the United Farm Workers. When they were trying to organize and the huge farms out in California, not just California, that's where Chavez was located, but we can look at Florida. But they said, no, these are immigrants, man. They just come over here and pick our tomatoes and pick our garlic and pick our corn and berries and stuff. We're not going to pay them. Screw them. Slavery. So we've had this honest attempt, I think, by good and decent people in the history of this country to build a society that incorporated some of the principles of free enterprise. Some of the non-predatory, the Jeffersonian style entrepreneurship. You know, you hear these right-wingers all the time talking about entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship, my ass, as if they really cared. Let me ask you something. Why do you think Rush Limbaugh doesn't finance his own program if he's so much into entrepreneurship? That's what we do here on this little Malloy show. Rush Limbaugh expects and gets some son of a bitch, some corporation to pay him $50 million a year so he can provide protection for corporate America in the same way that the old mafia gangs used to provide protection, quote-quote, for the local dry-cleaning establishment. If Rush Limbaugh is such a big-ass a champion of free enterprise and pulling yourself up your bootstraps, well, then why don't you do this, pig man? Get back all the money you've taken from corporate America. Let's see you do it on your own. Get out and sell the ads. You can take that corporate America money. Go ahead. You get out and do it. instead of having, who is it, Premier? Pay for, you know, this slob to sit there and undermine the very system on which he feeds like a huge blood tube from some goddamn predatory squid down, going down the throat, of the entire country? Come on. Oh, excuse me. I digress. I'm sorry, Kathy. Whew. Arizona Ray writes, I grew up in California, was 23 years old at the time of Prop 13 passage. Let me give you some context that no one will admit to. Prop 13 was driven by money and race. The largest beneficiary of Prop 13 was the Disney Corporation. Your property taxes could only rise under Prop 13 when you sold your property. So how much do you think Disney pays in property taxes each year? They bought their land in the 50s. California knew decades ago that minorities would become the majority in the state soon after the turn of the century. The subliminal pitch to white voters was, why spend your tax dollars on education and so forth on future generations who will not have your lips, your hair, your skin color, or your blue eyes? Willie Brown and Tom Bradley were two of the most powerful politicians in California at the time. It was easy for Republicans to whip up racial discomfort in the minds of voters. The two-third majority vote necessary to undo Prop 13 was the proposition's backers' way of making sure it became a permanent law. Willie Brown was the powerful speaker of the California General Assembly, I believe. And, of course, Tom Bradley was the mayor of L.A., both black men. Was he the Speaker of the California Assembly? I think he was, Willie Brown. This is some scary stuff. All right. God, I just blathered on. We're going to take a break and come back and take your phone calls. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
That's what I want.
Equinox with an EPA estimated 32 miles per gallon highway and up to 600 highway miles on a tank. It's the most fuel-efficient crossover on the highway. Go to Chevy.com/Equinox. Based on GM compact crossover segment, excludes other GM vehicles. It's about 21 past the hour. Last week, the New York Times reported that Schwarzenegger was considering releasing thousands of prisoners early and closing more than 200 state parks. Actually, the park closure, I think we talked about that about a month ago. But anyway, the park closures would include closing after Labor Day about a dozen state parks in the Lake Tahoe area, with a loss of about $9.5 million in annual visitor spending as a result. That's according to the executive director of the North Lake Tahoe Chamber of Commerce. So there goes $9.5 million that benefits the community. I'm not talking just about tax dollars. I'm just talking about the turnover of that money. Statewide, according to what I have here, and I don't know where it's from, statewide the park closings would mean about 1,200 layoffs, but the state would stand to save $143 million in the next 2 years. Woo! Tom Bloomer at Newsbusters has produced statistics that show California is in a welfare crisis, especially as unemployment in May rose to 11.5%. Bloomer produced the charts that demonstrate that California has, quote, chronically failed to do anything meaningful about its welfare population since 2002, end quote. I guess what that means is the underclass, so-called, and I hate that term too, but the underclass, the chronically underemployed or unemployed, is growing. How can it not be? If the unemployment rate is 11.5%, the real unemployment rate, the rate at which people feel unemployed, their skills are not being used, or they're only working part-time, or they've been furloughed, is probably approaching 18 or 19% in California. What was the unemployment rate nationwide during the Great Depression? What was it, 21, 22%? How close do you have to come? From New York Times again, this is from today. Listen to this. With budget deadlines missed and coffers running empty, officials in California began extending state employee furloughs, prepping IOUs, and swapping blame on Wednesday, today, as a gloomy new fiscal year dawned here. Governor Schwarzenegger was preparing to declare a fiscal state of emergency. I think he's already done that. A now commonplace move in this chronically budget-challenged state. As the Senate in Sacramento failed on Tuesday night to pass three bills to close a $24 billion deficit, the bills were doomed when Schwarzenegger's fellow Republicans stuck with the governor in their opposition. The bill's failure deeply frustrated the state's Democrats, who control both houses of the legislature but lack the two-thirds majority needed to pass a budget. Daryl Steinberg, the Senate president pro tem, said, quote, "You have a minority party, which obviously worked in tandem with the governor." He added that not passing a budget on time, especially one that would have allowed for delayed payments, had cost the state $6 or $7 billion more dollars. Steinberg said, quote, "It is without question the most irresponsible act I've seen in my 15 years of public service," end quote. And then the Times says Schwarzenegger seems to be holding to his position that he would not sign any bill that included new taxes. Son of a bitch. Saying repeatedly that he did not want piecemeal solutions, and he vetoed two stopgap measures on Tuesday. Schwarzenegger said in a statement, quote, "The legislature has refused the cuts, refused the reforms, and in doing so have made absolutely clear that they refuse to have state government live within its means," end quote. Aren't you sick of that? Huh? Are you a truth seeker? Every time you hear that, when you hear some rich son of a bitch, I don't care if he's a governor of the state or some propaganda minister like Limbaugh, or some a well-paid twit like Hannity, but whenever you hear that, right? Well, people should live within their means. Doesn't that grate on you? It damn sure grates on me. What is it? What does that mean? Live within the state should live within its means. What does that mean? Huh? Doesn't mean anything. Schwarzenegger, back to the time, Schwarzenegger was expected to declare a fiscal emergency on Wednesday, forcing the legislature to stay in session until a budget was passed. He also ordered a third furlough day for state employees in July. The state's controller, meanwhile, was also preparing to print more than 28,000 IOUs, which will be sent to thousands of Californians awaiting income tax returns. If the fiscal standoff continues, more IOUs will be sent to vendors, contractors, municipalities, and students expecting financial aid checks. Well, there you go. You corporate right-wing sons of bitches, you are bringing down California. I know what you're doing. I know what you pigs are doing. You're celebrating, right? You're celebrating just like the scum at Enron celebrated as they watched Californians electric rates triple, quadruple, quintuple while they sat back on their well-padded asses and just laughed at the whole thing. Nice stuff, huh? Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? You get the bitch up, the poor gets dead, the rich get depressed, the ugly get mad, the pretty get stressed, the ugly get violent, the pretty get gone, the old get stiff, the young get stepped on. Fists up, you're not satisfied. Got my old earth wearing a mask and gloves to get a mail. I know I owe to God that lost 12 close peeps on 911. This is serious biz. By time Bush is done, you won't know what time it is. If it's war time or jail time, time for promises and time to figure out where the enemy. with an EPA estimated 32 mile per gallon highway and up to 600 highway miles on a tank. It is the most fuel efficient crossover on the highway. Go to Chevy.com/Equinox. Based on GM compact crossover segment, excludes other GM vehicles. Before the hour, Ron in Santa Barbara writes, the guy from Texas was right. We Californians only get back about 70% of the federal taxes we pay. In the case of federal highway funds, it may be even lower. That is to say, we pay the federal gasoline tax, but many potential highway projects are blocked by the extraordinary notion that just building more highways is not a solution to the transportation problem. Ron, yeah, we have the same thing here in Georgia. Trust me, Atlanta used to be a nice city. Not anymore. And Hallie writes, you're right about California. It's corporatism, even worse than laissez-faire capitalism, because it's government intervention on the side of those who don't need it, to the detriment of those who do. You've covered a lot already. Have you mentioned the prison industrial complex? Gray Davis and Schwarzenegger in their pockets. We'd save a lot of money if we just let the nonviolent offenders go. Quotes around offenders from Hallie. Yeah, no, I haven't mentioned the prison industrial complex, not in the context of what's happening in California. We've mentioned before, of course, that we are now the nation on earth that has the largest number of people locked up and the largest number of people as a percentage of our population locked up. You know, this great Christian nation of ours, huh? How did that happen, I wonder? That's really weird, isn't it? Dave, thanks for holding on. Dave's calling from Huntington Beach, California, listening on KTLK. Hey, Dave.
Hi there, Mike. Good to talk to you again.
My pleasure.
And, you know, in your opening act, you pressed so many buttons, I just had to start scribbling.
I'm sorry. I really am.
No, I'm totally on your side.
Okay.
You know, with regard to Schwarzenegger and Michael Jackson, it's two sides of the same coin. It's that celebrity infatuation that we have,
uh-huh.
And I think we've got it worse in California probably than Minnesota.
Yeah, probably so, because it's California. I mean, you know, it's not just Hollywood, it's California.
Yep. And, you know, Gray Davis was, the energy companies did play him like a violin.
Oh my God, did they ever.
And they forced him to sign these long-term energy contracts at very high rates. You know, otherwise he was a capable administrator, but the public doesn't care about governance. You know, they just want somebody that they can have a beer with, I guess.
Or someone who is not going to raise their taxes. I don't, you know, that it's become a mantra almost, you know. I'm not going to raise the taxes. I'm not going to raise the Well, how in the hell else do things get paid for?
Absolutely.
It's only through taxes. If your state parks in Georgia or Mississippi or California are falling apart, how do you fix them? Well, you got to get the money someplace. You can't just do it with user fees. You also have to have an increase in taxes. Or you can just say to hell with it and let the state parks, let the buildings in the parks fall apart. If people want to hike in, fine, hike in. You won't find any toilets, which might be a good thing. You won't find any marked trails, which is not a good thing. You won't find any help, no rangers, nobody there to help you. I mean, this is madness. Oh, wait, there is one way out. Let's let the Park America Corporation, or whatever it's going to be called, step in and run it for you.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the California Republicans have done an amazing job of inculcating this idea that, you know, if we raise taxes, then, you know, we won't be as productive and the jobs will go away and so forth. Well, you raise taxes on the wealthy.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what's been missing, you know, for the last many years.
Well, that's, it's the Willie Sutton argument. They asked Willie Sutton, the FBI did, why do you rob banks? He said, because that's where the money is.
Yeah.
You know, why do you tax the wealthy? Because if you don't, they continue to get wealthier, continue to buy off legislatures, continue to force downward, the downward pressure, to make everybody else pay for their pleasures. I mean, why? Oh, never mind. It makes me sick that Americans don't understand that. Everybody else in the world understands that. Why don't we?
Oh, well, and the other thing they don't understand is that these large companies are the ones who benefit from the commons more than anybody else. They benefit from the roads. They benefit from the infrastructure and the schools.
Yes.
So they should be carrying the largest part of the burden.
Oh, man.
And as far as Prop 13, I got to say I'm glad it's there. California real estate has always been extremely speculative, and the recent bubble is proof of that. But I'm glad that my 91-year-old father can stay in his home.
Well, maybe the part of Prop 13 that doesn't have to do with tax increases. Maybe the part of Prop 13 that has to do with the part that benefits your 91-year-old father.
Well, there you are. He's been in his house since 1967. God bless him.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, Dave, thanks. I appreciate what you had to say, okay?
Thank you.
All right, take care. Take care. What's this? Michael writes, what's screamingly funny in all this is that Californians were seduced into throwing out Gray Davis on the grounds that he couldn't manage the budget because he was warning of a couple of $1 billion shortfall. And then they voted in yet another movie star who still can't pronounce the name of the state properly. And now they're in the hole to the tune of $26 billion. Just to put this in perspective, Michael writes, there are 34 million voters in the state. And that $26 billion shortfall amounts to $764 per voter. This could have been resolved simply and quickly by changing the law that demands a two-thirds majority in the legislature to raise taxes, modifying Prop 13 and creating a bit more progressive income tax instead of letting the minority in the legislature run the state. That would be the Republicans. In earlier times, states kept taxes reasonably constant during economically healthy times, so they'd have so-called rainy day funds available if there were an economic downturn. Now, Republicans demand tax cuts to erase surpluses, with the biggest portion of those cuts going to the very wealthy and to corporations. Seems only reasonable that taxes ought to be raised on the wealthy in hard times precisely because they benefit disproportionately in good times. But that's not the way it works in modern corporate America. By the way, I know a kid that's just returned from 6 months in Vegas, says it's a ghost town, mile after mile of empty houses in the new developments, casinos up for sale, no work anywhere, teachers being laid off, etc. So all those tax giveaways to predatory California corporations to lure them to Las Vegas sure made a difference, huh? Michael in New Mexico. The Republicans demand, as Michael says, Republicans demand tax cut to erase surpluses. Think for a second about on a national level. Look what George Bush did. look what George W. Bush did when he came into office, right? Clinton, because Clinton was a trickster. Clinton was a haint. Clinton used triangulation or voodoo or whatever. But regardless, when Clinton left office, yeah, I know he created a tech bubble. He didn't, but yeah. When Clinton left office, the projected surpluses into the future worked out to what? About $6 or $7 trillion. It was a lot of money. And as long as everything stayed the way it was, what was the first thing that George W. Bush did when he came into office? Slash the tax rates for the wealthy. Not for you and me. My taxes didn't go down. Did yours? Cut the tax rates on the wealthy. Spent like a son of a bitch. All the surplus went into George W. Bush's two wars so he could dress up with his codpiece and his flight suit and jump around on the deck of an aircraft carrier and pretend like he knew what the hell he was doing. Right? Huh? And that's putting it mildly. And you know it as well as I do. Gary's calling from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hey, Gary.
You know, the most knowledgeable person that I've heard talk about the problem in California is Peter B. Collins. I think I heard him sitting in, must have been for Tom Hartman for a week or something. And the situation is directly related to Prop 13. Most of my family, I've lived out in California for about 30 years. And what they don't tell you is that the problem of it isn't the residential housing. Because that does turn over a lot.
Right.
The commercial property is owned largely by large controlling companies and so forth. That doesn't change. They lease out the property. The property stays in the same ownership. And it isn't just Disneyland and the places. almost all the commercial property in most of the areas, except for new property that's built and been built in the last few years and so forth or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the biggest share of the problem. And when you couple that with a situation that you can't undo the mess they're in unless you got a ridiculous number of majority to change it, you've got a problem.
Right,
and,
right.
And that's what's contributed. It's the same thing. They have a similar problem in Oregon right now that outside people came in and put up it caused them to put in impact a law that at the end of the year, any surplus had to be refunded to the people. Well, that's great as long as the economy is growing. But when you have a downturn like now,
you have
no surplus, no raise.
That's right. So where's the shortfall going to come from? Hey, listen, Gary, I've got to leave it there. I don't mean to cut you off, pal, but we got a break. Thanks, Gary. I appreciate you checking in. Broken vows, broken pipes, broken tools, people bending, broken rules, alcoholic, both heart broken, everything is broken. Got an email here from Dr. Hal in Arlington Heights, Illinois, who writes, I live in Illinois where the state government is $11 billion in the hole. This is not Blagojevich. It's a result of 3 decades of underfunded essential programs, but you can bet the Republicans are making hay. Now, when the governor wants to raise state income tax an additional 1.5%, adding a deduction so that families making less than $60,000 will actually pay less, the Tea Party crowd comes out talking about liberty. Yeah, they will have liberty from safe roads and bridges, schools, hospitals, and all manner of social support systems. According to the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, of 50 states, 47 face budget shortfalls over the next few years. The total budget shortfall for all the states for fiscal year 2009 is $106 billion. Because states cannot run deficits, sharp and immediate cutbacks in social services and infrastructure are often seen. But these measures can be false economies, taking down systems that make our communities good places to live. Congress just passed another war supplemental funding bill. There was maybe a week of debate over some of the issues, but the outcome was never in doubt. Nothing like the pitched battle going on over whether we will join the rest of the civilized world and institute universal health care. The amount of the appropriation, $106 billion. This is insane. Michael Parenti put it this way. As much of the world suffers unspeakable misery, and as the third worldization of the United States accelerates, civil society is impoverished by policies that benefit the rich and powerful, the transnational corporations, and the national security state. The empire feeds off the resources of the republic. And the hard-won gains made by ordinary people are swept away. Dr. Hal in Arlington Heights, Illinois. One more here. Bill writes, there are many reasons for it, but the three main ones regarding the California budget crisis. One, the two-thirds vote requirement for new taxes. Two, term limits. Three, the requirement for a balanced budget. Bill writes, things weren't so bad until May when our girly man governor lost his guts after losing a referendum on higher sales taxes. Schwarzenegger wasn't really bad until he lost his nerve. Unfortunately, people will not wake up here until the parks close and the fire departments are furloughed. So maybe this will be a good thing. Then maybe we'll get rid of the one-third Republican cave dwellers who are in favor of clubbing everyone else down. Bill. Brian is in Madison, Wisconsin. Hey, Brian.
How you doing tonight, Mike?
I'm okay. Thanks for holding on as long as you did there. I'm sorry.
Well, okay. Let's make a few qualifications. I think that a lot of this comes from corporate greed as well as corruption in the state of California, as well as Prop 13 and a bunch of other things like the ABA chip. But to speak on this, I'm a native Californian. I moved away in 96. I used to work for the state of California, specifically in the controller's office, and I worked directly on the ABA shift from the counties.
Uh-huh.
To the state, to the counties.
Right.
And what basically transpired is that when Prop 13 was passed, we went from an ad valorem system of where every little district, fire district, water district, whatever, would set a tax rate, and typically it was like 12%.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and that tax rate then was based against the amount of assessments. And then what they would do is they say, we need, you know, XYZ to run our little district this year, so we're going to set our tax rate at, you know, whatever.
Right.
And that creates that.
Right.
So basically, when Prop 13 passed, you had about a 12% reduction in actual revenue. I mean, 1/12 of the actual revenue coming in.
Right.
So what happened is that Governor Jerry Brown sat there and took the $7 billion surplus the state of California had and divvied it back to the districts. And in doing so, what they did was they did what is called an ABH shift, where they took 60% of the revenues that each one of the school districts was getting through the property taxes,
mm-hmm,
and took it on and put it on the back of the state of California, and there they shifted that 60% of the school money over to all of the districts to help them fund their way through all of this. And so what actually happened in this whole process is not only was the taxes dropped, but the burden was shifted over onto the state of California for the school districts.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, that created another problem, which created a lack of discretionary funding by sitting there and doing each one of these shifts and everything else and all these millions of dollars and billions of dollars moving around. What ultimately happened is you ended up with the state of California with nowhere to spend anything. They couldn't raise the taxes. They couldn't do anything else. And this little tiny sliver of money they had left was what they called discretionary funds, to where they could, you know, set up a new program or pay for something or take in any losses that they've had for the previous year or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And all this then comes back to this discretionary funds. Well, the state of California hasn't had any discretionary funds all the way back into as far as 87, 88. And they've just been barely scraping along year after year trying to make it come together.
Right.
And so the bottom line on all this is, it's just like everybody's been saying, the corporations are the ones that are the winners in this whole thing.
Yeah.
They're the ones where their property taxes haven't gone up, because like Kaiser Steel or any one of the hospitals or anybody else, they've had that structure sitting there forever and a day. And because it's there, it's still at that same exact, you know, value with 1% added.
You know, I'm just wondering, Brian, we're just flat out of time here, but I'm just wondering how much longer people, not just people in California, but people in this country are going to put up with this until finally we take to the streets and say, no, we've had enough. Thanks, Brian. I appreciate you checking in. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Seven pounds. past the hour. This is the Malloy Program. Hello, San Francisco! Boy, you guys come on board, especially tonight, right at a very critical time. We just did 2 hours, and I think we're just about ready to wrap this two-hour-long segment up about this horrendous situation in California. Well, you can catch it on the rebound. Hello. If you live in San Francisco, you get this hour live, and then you get the whole show all over again. So you get 4 hours of Malloy in San Francisco now, 1 hour live, three rebroadcasts. I don't know how you can stand it, but anyway, thanks for our friends at Green 960 for bringing us on live. Anyway, if you are tuned to Green 960, yeah, that's what we've been talking about, and it's been an education for me. I hope people listening across the country who are not affected by this yet, although the email I read from a listener in Arlington Heights, 47 out of 50 states are facing these budget shortfalls, and we're in a world of hurt here. Is there anybody out there who doesn't understand yet what 8 years of the Republican administration in Washington did to this country? Not that they didn't have help. I mean, from all these companies, Enron was the first one. The predatory bankers, the financial services industry, it's just, you talk about a hosing. We had enough yet? On a lighter note, I want to mention this. I'm going to mention it periodically until the event. August 8th, Saturday, August 8th, our affiliate in Seattle, AM 1090, is presenting a town hall forum. It's the third annual town hall forum. Or is this the fourth? No, this is the fourth. And it's entitled Embracing Change, Moving Forward as the Majority. And the guests are going to be Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, Bill Press, moi, and Ron Reagan. The panel discussion will be moderated by David Postman, who's a former chief political reporter for the Seattle Times. So every year that I've gone out to do this, I've just had a great time. It's great to see the audience in Seattle, the ones that come out for this event. And I would hope, with some heavy hitters on here, like Ron Reagan and Tom Hartman and Stephanie Miller, all right, Bill Press, but I would hope that this thing will sell out fairly quickly. Once again, the tickets, I think, are very inexpensive. It's a three-hour gig. There would be a break in there, so everyone go to the bathroom. I don't know how they're going to handle that, but they'll figure it out. And you can go to our website and get your tickets in advance. And I hope you do this because I love going to this this particular forum, AM 1090 forum, the town hall forum. And I've been invited out there. This would be the third year, I think, the third year. Or is this the fourth year? Third year for me. And it's just an absolute good time. A lot of high energy. The people in Seattle take no prisoners where it comes to what they demand from their talk radio shows, the progressives, the ones that listen to this right-wing horse snot, from the Limbaughs and Hannitys will put up with anything. But when it comes to progressive talk radio, there are certain sections of the country. L.A. is one. Seattle's another one. Portland's another one. Up and down the West Coast, it seems like. Just won't, you know, you can't fool them. You can't get on the air and say you're a progressive or a liberal or whatever and not be right there, because they will absolutely get thoroughly pissed off. That's one of the reasons I like the Seattle audience. We had a great time in San Francisco when Green 960 took us out there we all went to a nightclub, about 400 of us, just got drunk as hell, had a great time. Remember that, y'all? Wasn't that fun? And where else? Phoenix, the Phoenix affiliate. We've been out there a couple of times, rock and roll. So anyway, I digress. Jesus. Well, it's the previous 2 hours. It's just been sort of drained me. I feel really, really upset about what's going on, because this is a fulfillment of what the Republicans have been trying to do. They've always hated California, always have hated California, just loathed it. And so many stupid people in California keep sending these sons of bitches into political power. I don't get it. Of course, I don't. We do it here in Georgia, too. But, you know, Georgia's not California. Georgia's, you know, Georgia. Anyway, I digress. You got to come to this event. Saturday night, August 8th. It's going to be at the Showwear Center, which is outside Seattle. And you can get tickets now. Go to tickets.showwarecenter.com. Now, Showwear is H-O-S-H-O-W-A-R-E center.com. Showwarecenter.com. Go to tickets.showwarecenter.com. The doors open at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and this event starts at 6 and runs till 9 o'clock. And I always like to hang out with Ron Reagan when I get a chance. He's a very interesting young guy. I mean, well, he's not so young anymore. Well, yeah, he is. But, you know, how would you like to be Ron Reagan Jr.? I mean, that's got to be a little bit rough sometimes, doesn't it? I mean, it would have to be. I wouldn't mind being Stephanie Miller. But never mind. I'm sorry, Kathy. I don't mean anything by that. And Hartman and Bill Press. I've always liked Bill Press. So I like his hair. If I had his hair, I'd throw mine away. But anyway, come on out for this. We really want to, when I say we, I mean we, Stephanie, Tom, Bill, Ron, and I, and David Postman, who I don't know, who's going to moderate this thing. We really want to see you, okay? So go to tickets.showwarecenter.com. We'll see you there. A hot August night in Seattle. And what else? Do we have any more business? Have you become a podcast subscriber yet to this program? You haven't? We really, really, really need you to do that. And I hope you'll do it. Go to MikeMalloy.com and become a podcast subscriber. It'll cost you two bits a show. $59.40 a year. Hurry up and do it before you're unemployed, too, and then none of us have any money. So, you know, this unemployment thing is getting out of hand, so hurry up and do your subscription, will you? Before you find a pink slip in your pay envelope and they say, did you subscribe to the Malloy Show yet? You didn't? Too bad, now you'll never be able to. Just kidding. All right, I want to continue to take, what do we have here? We have one more call on the California situation, and then we're going to kind of switch out of that. All right, thanks to everybody that called in, because it did give us, I think, it gave a lot of us in the rest of the country some insight into this. I think most of us know what the underlying problem is. And the underlying problem is the fact that there's an attempt, a serious attempt, by the right-wingers in this country to murder representative government in this country, absolutely kill it, destroy it, slaughter it. There is an attempt to murder any attempt to regulate predatory capitalism. And there is an attempt by the right wing to bring back what is essentially serfdom, or what were we talking about the other night, Kathy? I'm drawing a complete blank. But that it's essentially serfdom, where you have the ruling class and the priesthood and then everybody else. And at some point on this radio program, I'm sure the day is going to come. I just have a sense that the day is going to come when we'll have to hook up our generator once we get it and broadcast via the... I don't know how we'll get the signal out, but we'll get it out, and it will be almost like a call to arms. You know what I'm saying? Well, we'll see. Tim is in L.A., listening on KTLK. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me on, and happy birthday.
Hey, hold on a second. As soon as I put you on, I got to put you on hold, because now we have to do a break here. Thanks for the birthday thing. Oh, by the way, to everybody that's been sending in the birthday greetings, thank you so much. It's very kind of you. There's no way in hell that I can answer all of them, but thank you. Tonight after the program, I'm going to look at all these cards, these email cards that have come in, and I do appreciate it. It's very, very kind of y'all to do that, to remember. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. Our jobs today. No, I hate the men sent the jobs away. Introducing the all-new Chevy Equinox with an EPA estimated 32 miles per gallon highway and up to 600 highway miles on a tank of gas. It's the most fuel-efficient crossover on the highway. Go to Chevy.com/Equinox. Based on GM compact crossover segment, excludes other GM vehicles. It's about 22 past the hour, and we were talking with Tim in Los Angeles. All right, Tim, thanks for holding on.
Hey, thank you very much, Mike.
Sure.
You were wondering, where is the money at? And I was speaking, I spoke to a state employee a while ago. We were talking about $25 billion, now $26 billion debt.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought up the question, are we really in debt? Because if we're in debt, how is it that we could still fund, like, you know, private schools, like, you know, charter schools, or how can we still fund, like, you know, Blackwater down in San Diego, or fund, like, these private security systems or even private prisons?
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that they allocated a lot of the money that was used for the commons to the private sector. So we're not really in debt, you know, $25 or $26 billion, because if they were to get rid of all the contracts or get rid of all the private corporations,
mm-hmm.
California would be in the black, to be honest with you. But they allocated all the public funds to the private sector.
But it's my understanding that those vendors, as they're called, the corporations that do business with the state, they are going to be issued IOUs in lieu of actual cash payment. So I don't disagree with you. There is an effort to destroy both representative government and restricted capitalism in this country,
right,
to reduce everything back to what it was pre-industrial revolution, where it concerns workers and the ruling class. But I don't see how the corporations are immediately benefiting in California. I see what the long-term goal is to privatize everything.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's police and fire departments,
which they are doing.
Yeah, the prison industrial complex is already privately run for the most
right.
part. I know this, and that's not just true in California, by the way. But
right.
It's sickening, because in order to make this transition from publicly financed to privately financed social services, a couple of things have to happen. First, you have to destroy the system already in place, which is what they're doing, either bankrupt it or just some other means destroy it. And secondly, you have to accept, and corporations accept this because they're not human, you have
right.
to accept the collateral damage, which
right.
means poor people, old people, children, pregnant mothers, I mean, all sorts of people who are going to be the collateral damage.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrifying. And that's why I say either the American public is going to accept this or it's going to resist.
There's no
halfway ground.
And what's even more sickening is that our former Vice President Dick Cheney has stocks in these private prisons, and he's making millions, if not billions, right now as we speak.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. Somebody sent me an email tonight that says Gray Davis and Schwarzenegger also have either investments or some
right.
kind of interest in the prison industrial complex. It's a hell of a situation, Tim. It's disgusting. It's frightening. It's sickening. It's enraging. But, you know, that's what we got. Tim, thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in. That is the essential question for me. It really is. And it has been. This has been gradually building for me over the past 25 years. And it's reaching, you know, just in my little tiny, teensy little area of consciousness, it's really reaching critical mass. Either we accept what is happening and adjust, adapt, or resist. There is no other way to do it, is there? I mean, if you know of another way of dealing with the end of representative government, and I'm not saying it's happened yesterday or last week. It's been slowly building ever since, I guess, ever since the Supreme Court ruled that corporations had the same rights as individuals, as actual living, breathing people. But and even before that, I do know this, that all the way back to Thomas Jefferson, and move forward about, I don't know what, 80 years to Abraham Lincoln, all of these people, I realize I only mentioned two, but all of the people who were in power at the time warned against, especially Jefferson, warned against predatory corporations. That if democracy or the Democratic Republic that they gave us was to survive, we had to guard against the single biggest threat. The biggest threat was not, and Jefferson said this, didn't he? Was not external. It wasn't a threat from an invading force or a competing civilization. It was from corporations that were being formed even then in this country because they had the power to goddamn destroy everything. Well, guess what? Guess what? So my question to me, not to you, you have your own question. You know, how? What are we going to do? What am I going to do? Am I going to adapt or am I going to resist?
Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century. I want a big, big Mac and double fries. I want to wave my American standards high. I want to fly my flag across your sky.
Introducing the all-new Chevy Equinox with an EPA estimated 32 miles per gallon highway and up to 600 highway miles on a tank. It's the most fuel-efficient crossover on the highway. Go to Chevy.com/Equinox. Based on GM compact crossover segment, excludes other GM vehicles. It's about 25 before the hour. All right, a couple of people have emailed me about if I have any updates on Cynthia McKinney and the other people who were taken hostage by the Israeli Navy the other day as they tried to sail into Gaza with relief supplies. And during the break, I did a quick Google search, and I know that she was arrested along with the Irish Nobel Peace Prize winner. And, just about everybody on board. I think McKinney is still being held. She used to be my member of Congress from Georgia here. As a matter of fact, years ago when, going back 15 years, when I was going to run for the Georgia General Assembly and even went so far as to organize a political committee and hire a couple of consultants and yada, yada, yada. They had a candidates forum for us newbies, and Cynthia McKinney was one of the speakers to explain to us how you organize, how a political campaign, how you get out the vote, and so on and so forth. Her father, Billy McKinney, who is in the Georgia General Assembly here, is a nutcase. I mean, there's no question he's a nutcase. But Cynthia is not at all. And, as far as Cynthia and her dad, Billy, are concerned, I mean, it's just one of those things like when you have a crazy aunt or uncle who lives in the attic and and the family gets together on Thanksgiving, you hear the thumping on the floor upstairs. But so I'm not talking about Billy McKinney, who has a crappy reputation here in the state of Georgia. He really does. I don't think he's in the legislature anymore, but even his constituents got tired of him. Cynthia was defeated after she made some statements that were just a little bit too much in sympathy with the efforts of Palestinians for statehood or for their particular point of view in that horrible ongoing death spiral between the Israelis and the Palestinians. And she was defeated by a lot of crossover votes. Here in Georgia, you can vote in a primary. You can vote, you can be a Democrat and vote in the Republican primary. You can be a Republican and vote in the Democratic primary. So Cynthia was targeted and her seat was taken away from her through that process. And she was out of office for 2 years, then got it back, and then was defeated again. And then, of course, as you know, she wound up on the Green Party ticket. I think it was a Green Party ticket, running for president. And, truth be told, she had as much chance of being elected as I did. But anyway, I've known Cynthia for 20 years, certainly 15, but I think even before that. I've known her father longer than necessary, frankly. The guy's a real embarrassment. I'm sorry. He just is. And so the answer to the question, I'm not sure. I know they were all busted by the Israelis. They were taken to a port in southern Israel where there was an immigration office. She and the other people were treated as illegal immigrants, I believe, even though they were seized on the high seas. They were not on Israeli territory. They weren't on anybody's territory. They were in international waters when they were attacked and taken hostage. I realize that there are a few dribs and drabs of reports on this incident, but nothing yet that constitutes a mainstream media focus. I can imagine what would happen if Cynthia McKinney and the other people on this boat were heading up the coast of North Korea and didn't get blown out of the water, of course, by the North Koreans, with a rescue mission and were seized by North Korean gunships. There would be the whole goddamn world, even Michael Jackson's death spiral would stop for a little while on television if that happened. You know, if she were seized by North Koreans, or if she were seized by Chinese, or Venezuelans, or Cubans, you know, everything would stop. MSNBC and CNN and ABC and CBS and NBC and Fox News Channel and all these corrupt, filthy mainstream media television outlets would focus on Cynthia McKinney being kidnapped by North Koreans. But she wasn't kidnapped by North Koreans. She was kidnapped by the Israeli Navy. Consequently, silence. Shut up. Don't anyone say anything. Look over here. Don't look at that. Look at Michael Jackson. Here, look, look, look. Don't pay any attention to Cynthia McKinney, former U.S. Congress, member of Congress, and Irish Nobel Peace Prize winner. No, 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 yeah, la, 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 la. Put your hands over your ears. Close your eyes. Watch Michael Jackson. Watch! God damn it! Remember, television is designed for one purpose, to make you forget. So I don't have an answer. Nora is calling from Minneapolis, listening on KTNF. Hey, Nora.
Hey there, Mike. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you great.
Okay. I'm calling about the subject you were on yesterday about the treatment of the Palestinians by the Israel government,
right,
et cetera.
Right.
Well, there's this great native speaker named John Trudell, and I used to go hear him speak a lot, and he would sometimes talk about the book about Hitler, where it tells about how much he greatly admired the United States because of the way that they not only stole the land of the Native Americans, but also they removed them from it onto the reservations. And how ironic it would be if Hitler was alive now, he could admire the way that Israel does that to the Palestinians.
Well, I guess there is certainly that possibility. The whole thing stinks, Nora. It turns my stomach, and there's very little I or you or anybody can ever do about it, because this alliance between American media, American government, Israel government, Israeli media, is ironclad. There's no daylight between the two. So here's an update. Sheila sent in the Israeli, this is dated today, Israel to deport 21 peace activists kidnapped while sailing to Gaza. It says the Israeli authorities decided to deport 21 international peace activists who were kidnapped by the Israeli Navy while sailing to Gaza, carrying humanitarian aid and medical supplies to the besieged Gaza Strip. The activists would be deported in the coming days. The Israeli immigrant police would transfer them to the Ben-Gurion airport to deport them out of the country. Israeli Ynet News reported that two of the activists, Israeli and Americans, that two of the activists carry Israeli and American citizenship, three from Britain, five from Bahrain, five from Ireland, a Danish, Jordanian, and Yemenite citizen. Blah, 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 blah. Peace activist Greta Berlin of the Free Gaza Movement said that Israel had no right to kidnap the activists, especially since no one intended to go to Israel as the ship is heading to Gaza. I think she is the Israeli citizen involved in this. Anyway, that's the best I have right now. Sandra is calling from Berkeley, California, listening on Sirius. Hey, Sandra.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you? Well, not great. No. I'm okay. How are you?
I'm trying not to hate them.
Yeah, hate who?
But let me just say that, as I was saying to Kathy, that I've been seeing for years what's going on, because it's like I have this kind of mind that I see the logical conclusion to actions.
Yeah.
So what I see is the Republicans thought they were going to destroy this country and then get a Republican then there and build a corporate union where basically everyone's slaves. If you don't work for a corporation, you don't have water, you don't have food, because they already own 60% of the growing food in the world. They already are buying up all the water. I mean, I'm starting a comedy routine, and part of it's going to be, I'm going to actually stand on a stage and with charts and graphs and maybe a globe and say, this is the world, this is what we've done to it. There's so much, you know, percentage of clean water left in the world. There's so much food left in the world. Why should five corporations own all this stuff?
Well, that's a good one. The only problem, Sandra, I don't know how in the hell you can make that funny. If you do, I want to hear your routine. I got to leave it there, Sandra. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate you checking in. We'll be right back. It's 10 before the hour. Thanks to our crew. Ben Burt, Sharon Gordy, Bob Alexander, Richard Wolf, Bruce Enberg, Catherine Bay. Jan in Mill Valley writes, had the Spirit of Humanity and its passengers been kidnapped by the Palestinians, the news would have been would even have blown Michael Jackson off the air, at least for a little while. Yeah, it's just not, it's not going to get the attention. From Cynthia McKinney's blog site today, July 1, this is posted, we are not the story. It's not just our 21 kidnapped passengers. And it says, on 30th June 2009, Israeli occupation forces forcibly boarded the Free Gaza boat, Spirit of Humanity, kidnapped 21 human rights workers and journalists who were on their way to deliver much-needed humanitarian and reconstruction supplies to besieged Gaza. Those abducted by Israel included Nobel Peace Prize laureate Myreed McGuire and former U.S. Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney. Since their kidnapping, tens of thousands of people around the world have mobilized to demand their immediate and unconditional release. The Free Gaza Movement would like to thank everyone who has made a phone call, sent a fax or email, written a letter, or organized a demonstration on behalf of our 21 imprisoned friends. With respect, it is not enough. We are not the story. Since its founding in 1948, the State of Israel has regularly kidnapped and tortured Palestinians, throwing them into forgotten prisons where they can languish for years. Today, over 11,000 Palestinian political prisoners without benefit of due process, some never even charged, men, women, and children, endure torture and isolation in Israeli jails, outdoor prison camps, and secret black sites. They come from all walks of life, doctors, journalists, parliamentarians, workers, resistance fighters, homemakers, students, and others. The 21 passengers aboard the Spirit of Humanity have been illegally incarcerated for their solidarity work with Palestine. 11,000 other members of our common human family are already imprisoned simply for being Palestinian. The siege of Palestine is not simply the physical blockade against Gaza. The siege includes the hundreds of checkpoints throughout the West Bank that separates families and communities and shatters any prospect for a viable Palestinian state. The siege includes the millions of Palestinians in diaspora, many of them dumped in squalid refugee camps in Jordan, Lebanon, and elsewhere. The siege is ever present throughout all aspects of Palestinian life. This siege is only strengthened when we pay more attention to the injustice done to 21 international solidarity workers than we do to the much greater injustices already being committed against millions of Palestinians. We in the Free Gaza Movement implore all the good people around the world who have been working so hard to secure the release of our friends to adopt a Palestinian prisoner. We ask you to learn about the crisis and take on the cause of an individual prisoner as your own. Break the siege. Reach out to Palestine. This is kind of like the Amnesty International. I can remember back in the 80s, early 80s, when I first signed up to contributed to Amnesty. And we would write the letters. Amnesty International would send out their alerts. But they would provide us with, back then, three or four of the people I wrote, on whose behalf I wrote, were prisoners in South Africa. Black Africans imprisoned by white South Africans and denied justice. And I can remember feeling the futility of writing those letters, but I'll be damned. And this was, you know, this is pre-email. This is, I mean, even fax machines were not. I'm talking about the early 80s. Come on. It wasn't that long ago. We've had some quantum leaps here. But it required actually writing a letter and addressing it to His Excellency, the governor of whatever, or His Excellency, the prime minister of whatever. And you would name the name of the political prisoner. I am writing on behalf of blank. I am writing because I understand he or she has been incarcerated without due process. I understand that the crime with which he has been charged is the crime of demanding freedom. And I'll be damned, you know, when the rooster crows, he doesn't cause the sun to come up by any means, but the rooster still crows. When we wrote those letters, I'm talking about everybody in Amnesty, because they would be carefully targeted. Well, you know, you're a member of Amnesty, Truth Seeker, right? You know what I'm talking about. And sometimes it worked. So I think what McKinney is suggesting here, or the Free Gaza Movement is suggesting, And I don't know how you go about this. Maybe through amnesty. But get the name of a political prisoner. Someone who has been put in preventive detention, which is what we are talking about in this country now. This is what Barack Obama is talking about. Preventive detention. Jesus. Find out the name of somebody. Write on their behalf. Any state, I don't care how fascist it is or is fast becoming, will respond to that kind of pressure if the pressure is great enough. Up to a point. Up to a point. And I think we are rapidly approaching that point because some of the more so-called civilized countries on this planet are starting to move in that direction toward a corporatist fascism where, I mean, we have laws on the books in this country now where people demonstrating for labor rights could be considered domestic terrorists. So, don't forget, right after this program, if you're listening online, stick around. You'll hear a rebroadcast of Bob Kincaid's Head On Radio Network program. And you should check it out. You really should. Just try it. Stick around for a while. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to buy anything. You don't have to sign up for anything. Just leave your computer speakers where they are. Ben Birch, who handles our podcasts and archiving and all sorts of stuff, will make the switch over so you can listen to the broadcast earlier tonight, Bob Kincaid's program on the Head On Radio Network. Stick around for that, okay? I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Do take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.
Your hair is